Get your Bibles and look at Mark chapter 10 with me. You need to probably take a few notes. So if you, I hopefully something said that you want to retain. And Tebow Brock can pretty much retain everything I say and tell me pretty much what I said. But he's about the only one in our congregation that I know that really can do that. So I encourage you, because what I want to talk tonight about doing is planting and sowing and reaping and the blessings of God. And I really believe that God's going to take us into some study on this. He's saying a lot to me. What he's been talking to me about this last few days is a beggar's garment. And the first message that I ever preached in my whole life was at New Life Church. Pastor Goss had gone out of town and he had asked me to share. And so I was my first opportunity, and I was praying and I was reading and, of course, studying, and I was asking the Lord and did all I knew to do. And I really wanted to share on blind Bartimaeus here in Mark chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 46. And I'll never forget that. It was about old blind Bartimaeus, and the specific thing that the Lord had showed me was that he threw his garment off. And it's a beggar's garment. And then we were down at the revival this past week, and Wayne Williams continued to relate to that beggar's garment. And it just really spoke to me, because it was something God had birthed in my heart 15 years ago. And every time that it's relayed to, then, you know, it just sparks that thing again. And I just love it. I just love it. And I think it's kind of where we're at right now. I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about some things that the Lord is showing us and we're going to be looking at, and just kind of get some things worked into our hearts, into our spirits. I don't think that I have done a real good job at our church as far as instructing and teaching people how to sow in order to receive. I don't believe I've done very well at that. I believe that I have, in fact, I've probably shied away from it. All the stuff in the kingdom of God over the past several years, past decade or so, that's gone on with about money. I guess most preachers have shied away from doing much teaching and talking about money, and I know that I have. And I repent. I want to change, because it's a trick of the enemy, because that's exactly what the enemy would want us to do, is get away from that. Because you see, that's exactly what had happened in Malachi. We're going to turn there in just a few minutes. They had some bad teaching about giving tithes and offerings. Is that about right? And what had happened is they had gotten a curse. And we'll read it in just a second, but in verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Will a man rob God?" But he says, "You've robbed me, how? In your tithes and offerings, in the way you're giving." And so what we do when we get gun shy like that, and we kind of back away from those things, is we begin to allow folks to drift away from the truth of the Scriptures on giving. And so I really believe the Lord wants us to start looking at this again and bring it back into it in its correct focus. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we start reading about this man named Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, he is Jesus, with his disciples and a great number of people. Now, this is interesting. I'm just going to point this out, because in chapter 11, he goes into Jerusalem. And I think that in our mind's eye, we see that he's going into Jerusalem with just he and his disciples. No. There's a lot of noise and excitement before they get there. You know, when they get there, the Pharisees come and say, "Hey, quieten them down some. Can't you keep them quiet?" And Jesus says, "Well, if they don't praise me, the stones are going to cry out." So what we've got to understand is there was already a lot of energy being released prior to their approaching and getting to Jerusalem, with a great number of people, of people like Bartimaeus here and Zacchaeus. He's just left Zacchaeus' house, and now here they come, and they're coming now down Jericho Road. Great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. Now, I really believe that this is where a lot of Christians are today. Christians basically have a poverty mentality. That's sad. Now listen, I really want us to hear this. Poverty is of the devil. It's not of God. It's nothing godly about poverty. Wayne Williams has said this, and he says it all the time down at that revival in Griffin. But he says that poverty has killed more people than AIDS. Right? It has destroyed more marriages than adultery. Listen, we've got an enemy that we've got to identify here in poverty, and we need to understand that it really is an enemy. There's nothing godly about being poor. You're just being used of the devil. If you promote that doctrine, Jesus never promoted that. He says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. And he wants us to have everything in an abundance. And he says, I want to fill your cup till it runs over. And so really what we want to see here is I really believe that a lot of Christians are sitting beside the road begging. They're blindly not understanding because the eyes of their understanding are darkened, and they're sitting beside the roadside begging. Oh, Jesus, just please. And we've got to come to the understanding that he came to give us life and that abundantly. And they sit there and life passes them by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How many of you have learned that it's when you really begin to seek after Jesus and get loud about it and begin to express yourself about Jesus that you start hearing people kind of putting you down a little bit? Oh, be quiet. You know, we could come to church and somebody will sit there and cry, and we say, well, isn't that sweet? But if somebody starts laughing, hey, hush, come on now, am I right? And we need to learn to laugh. You know, that's sadistic that we want people to cry and not laugh. How many really think that we need to learn to laugh in church even while I'm preaching? Don, it was so funny. I mean, he was sitting there, he laughed the whole time Sunday morning. We've got to learn to laugh. We've got to learn to cry out the more. And I really believe that's where we're at right now. Folks, I don't want to get less. I want to get more. I want to laugh more. I want to shout more. I want to dance more. I don't want to do it less. I want more of us to do it. And I sat beside the road begging. And so what Bartimaeus did, and Jesus stood still. Now what got his attention? When you do it more. I want us to understand that what got his attention, what stopped Jesus, was not the quietness, but the loudness. He's not afraid of noise. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he likes a merry heart. He says it does good like a medicine. He likes us to be cheerful and happy people, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. Wayne Williams is down there and people I see him get so laughing they can't talk. I mean literally, they'll just fall out. Just fall out laughing. And he says, that's just joy unspeakable. This is joy unspeakable. We need some unspeakable joy. I mean, you know, and we see the laughing, and he was so good about pointing out what was really happening. You see, we see the laughter. That's what we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Our senses identify that someone's laughing, but we can't see what the Holy Ghost is doing on the inside of people. Christians are so sad. They're so wounded and bruised by people. And when that laughter comes, it does good like a medicine. And there's a healing that's happening. And we need to understand that blind Bartimaeus shouted out the more. And I don't want to get less here. I want to get more. Doug, we need more. We've got to this place. Let's don't get less. Let's get more. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Whatever the garment is that you're wearing, and the one I specifically want to talk about today is the garment of poverty, the garment of a beggar's garment. We need to cast that thing off. Bartimaeus had no more beggar's garment. He threw it off. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" How many would like to hear him ask you that question? Kevin, you need to ask him that question. So the Lord says, "Kevin, after you shouted out the more, casted off that beggar's garment, jumped up, went to him," said, Jesus says, "Kevin, what do you want me to do for you?" How about it, Randy? Is there something Jesus could do for you? How about it, Jim? So we've got to cry out the more. We've gotten to a place where we're kind of loud, but we need to do it more. He is not afraid. I was going to say frightened, and I was trying to combine those words. He was not frightened by shouting and by loudness. And we've got to understand that Jesus really does like and enjoy people and loudness. All these people, many people are going with him now to Jerusalem. They're going in shouting, they're going in praising, they're going in dancing and with a bunch of joy. So much so that the Pharisees don't want them shouting. Pharisees don't never want you. The Pharisees want it quiet. You gonna laugh? You gonna laugh? Huh? Here we go. Go ahead, Angie. Go ahead. We can do it. We can do it. Jesus likes it. His kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Because it brings forth a healing thing out of you. Keeps you healthy. Go ahead. It's okay. I don't ever want to have to tell people to be quiet in church. Man, we've got to learn that that's Phariseeism. You know, we've got to learn to laugh and let people know it's okay. We've got to learn to laugh again. Amen. Now, let's look at Malachi 3:8. Matthew, back up one book. Now, I want to get the beggar's garment off. But we'll never get the beggar garment off, and I'm looking at tithers. I know I am. But we'll never get the beggar's garment off until we understand how it really works and what God really does with it. We do it a lot of times in obedience, and that's good. But I want to understand things. I'm a very inquisitive person. Why is it that way? And understand also that it's not only the tithe, but it's the offering. And these two things coming together brings life to your giving. The tithe will open up the windows of heaven, and the offerings will bring then the multiplication. It's the seed that you're going to sow. Wayne Williams has... Go ahead. Loud. I don't hear you. He's very clear on almsgiving and tithe giving and offering giving. And he's very clear that the tithe goes to the church and the offering, you know, is what we give out as seed. And we sow it into good soil. And the alms is what basically goes to the poor and to the needy and to those areas that we want to just help people. You don't specifically sow, and all three of these are spoken of in the scriptures, and you know they are, but you don't sow when you're giving alms. Because you're giving into basically barren soil, right? This, what you give to the poor, you don't want to be poor, do you? So you don't sow into the end of the poverty. You really give to it because it's commanded of the Lord, and He brings blessings upon that. When you lend in those kinds of things, then you're the one that reaps the blessings. But what you really sow with is your offering. And we've got to learn these concepts and principles and actively and articulate better of how we function with them. And in Malachi 3:8, what's happened is a lot of what's happened over the last decade in America, I really believe, is because we have shied away from teaching and instructing people about proper giving. And so had it been here in Malachi's day, and people were robbing God because the priests were not instructing the people correctly. Malachi 3, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings?" Tithes and offerings. not only in the tithing, but also in the offerings. Now, these two go together like a man and a woman. A man and is alive, and a woman's alive, but when you bring them together, they bring life. They bring the seed forth. You understand what I'm saying here? When I can't produce by myself, and she can't produce by herself, but when we get together properly, then we've created lives. And so it is when your tithe and your offering comes together in unity, the way that's supposed to be done, it's going to birth something in the realm of the Spirit, and it's going to activate the natural. So we've robbed God in the tithes and the offerings. And it always works this way. We've got to understand the tithes open the windows of heaven. We'll read it in just a second. But it's the offerings that sends forth into the sea. Now, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now, where do we take it? Into the storehouse. Now, that's where God's planted you. That's where He's put you to be a partaker of that place. That's where we bring the tithe. Now, that's not where we necessarily bring the offering. It's good if we have some things that we minister into and we give and all those things, but that's not necessarily the offering, but the tithe is supposed to come to the storehouse. You give your offerings as seed. Now, we want to always be activating that and doing that, of course. So it comes to the storehouse, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second or two. But what the tithe does is, you see right here, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. It's basically for the ministry. That's what it's for. It's for the functioning and the operation of the ministry. Now, let me just stop here just to say, how many knows that it, I don't care how you cut it, I don't care how you want to slice it, it's going to take a lot of money to win this city for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care how you want to say it, it's going to take several million dollars actually to really do it. Now, I don't know if we think like that, but it's really going to take a lot of money to really win this area that we're targeting as our area to really minister Jesus Christ to these people. Let me give you a quick example. Has Coca-Cola evangelized the whole world? Sure they have. How have they done it? You got it. And I don't care how we want to cut it or slice it, it's going to take money. And we've got to get away from this beggar mentality, this poverty mentality, and come into a mentality where we understand what we're really doing here. Now he says the tithes and the offering. And then we're going to read here, it's bringing into the storehouse. He says, prove me now, wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now what does it do? Tithes opens the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there should be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's the angels, that's the Lord of hosts, he's the Lord of the angels. Lord of hosts, the army of God. He says, if you'll bring that tithe, I'm going to release my angels to go to work for you. That's basically what he's saying here. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, no matter how you want to look at this or how you want to talk about it, correct giving is really what brings God's watchful eye over our lives. I don't care how you say it. I don't care what you want to do. It is correct giving. It's correct giving of tithes and offerings that brings God's watchful eye over our lives. And God loves a cheerful giver. So understand, God understands how we give, what we give, and the way we give. And He says, I love a cheerful giver. I'm going to watch this cheerful giver. I'm going to take care of this cheerful giver. And we've got to understand these concepts and precepts and throw off that beggar's garment and get back into the Word of God and begin to come before Him and say, God, I'm sowing this because I need this. We need $210,000 to purchase that 35 acres of property over there. Judy and I have been actively seeking God and praying about where to sow $2,100. We want a 100-fold return. And we really believe that if we do that, according to God's Word, He says if you give it in good soil, it's going to bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. I want a 100-fold return. And we've got to learn this concept and really trust God with it and do it. So we're actively looking and praying and asking the Lord, where is the good ground that's going to give us this kind of return? If you want 100 acres of produce given back to you, how much do you have to plant? 100 acres. You can't plant 10 and expect to get 100 acres of harvest. You've got to sow what you're expecting to get. And we've got to learn these concepts and precepts of what God teaches us. And no matter what you say or how you do it, it's the proper giving and proper offering and proper tithing that really brings God's watchful eye over our life. And it's going to take a lot of money to affect this area. And we've really got to learn how to be a prosperous people, how to be a people that understand sowing and reaping and God's concepts and precepts about monies so that we can get this money that we're going to need to affect our area. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take more than we've got. And so we've got to do some sowing and some harvesting and some sowing and some harvesting. And God's going to give it to us. If we're really of God, if God's really spoken to us, then we've been praying of it. Lord, show us how to do this. Show us how to do this. So I believe this is a part of it. Because it's going to be an ongoing process. It's going to be an ongoing for a time in a season here. So God's going to start showing us right now, this is a part of that. This is that. Okay, this is that. They were a rock. So it's through tithes and offerings that we really show our fear of God too. I want us to see this now. If we're not really tithing and offering, then we're not really fearing God. Now let's look at this real quickly. I'm not going to stay here too long, but back up to Deuteronomy chapter 14. This is a passage that when I teach tithing, I usually go to Deuteronomy 14 because it has a breakdown of the three different aspects of tithing that I believe is very important to have worked into our lives. Now, Judy and I have tithed. We began tithing real early in our Christian walk. We've something we've always done, and God has always blessed us. He has always continuously blessed us. There's been times when you're tight, but that tithe, that first fruit, always came first. We never ever missed it, and God has been faithful. My family's in order. My finances are in order. My health is in order. He has done what he told me that he would do in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. He's done that. And I want to tell you, it works, folks. It really does work. And so what we're talking about here is the concepts of God and his financial ways. Now, look at verse 22 and 23. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn and thy wine and of thine oil and of thy firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest what? Learn to fear the Lord thy God always. One of the primary purposes of the tithe is that we learn to fear God. When I know that an individual is a consistent tither, I'm seeing the fear of God worked into that life. Now, what am I saying? Are they afraid of God? No. They're identifying the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. They have recognized that He is Lord. And yes, He's Lord, and I'm going to do it because I identify that, and He is Lord, and so I identify that. And so what I want to talk about, is this particular aspect for the rest of the time is the identifying of Him as the Lord. Because it's really through this tithe that we understand this. And I think that we can see it in Adam and Eve. Well, I know we can. One tree that was in that garden, they could not eat up. It was God's. It was holy. It was sanctified. It was set apart for Him. Adam and Eve couldn't touch it. And as long as they did, as long as they did not touch that tree, as long as they left that tree alone, was the devourer rebuked? Think now. When did the devourer get in and devour them? When they ate of that tree. That part that was God's. That part that was set apart that they could not touch. Now what does he say about the tithe? He says, it is mine, it's holy, you leave it alone. Is that right? So we've got to understand that concept. And when we don't understand that, what we're doing is we're not rebuking the devourer. We're cursed with a curse. It's not that God doesn't like us, but he doesn't like our offering. We're going to look at that in just a second. We'll see. Listen, he will come to the place where he will not receive your offering. And so what I'm really wanting to work into us is understanding that there are some things that God wants to show us about monies that are very, very crucial and important to how we give and what we give and the way we give. Money takes money, honey. So that's what Wayne Williams takes bread, Fred. It does. Listen, we've got people in our church. There's one right back there. We've got people in our church that would go on the mission field right now if there was money to support him. Am I right? Pretty much. There are people that would go right now and begin works in churches and evangelizing and stuff like that in our church right now. but it takes money. It's got to have an understanding of the concept and the way God functions and works. And what I'm wanting us to see here in the thing is that this one tree they were not supposed to partake of. They were not supposed to eat of. And as long as they would not, then the enemy was rebuked. And where the enemy got in was when they ate that which was God's. That tent, that tithe, that tree, that part that was His. And when we do that, folks, when we do not set it apart for Him wholly, and we don't groom it for Him and prepare it for Him, when we do that, then what we're doing is we're not identifying Him really as Lord. The fear of God really isn't in us. And we're not saying, "You really are Lord, Lord. You're Lord if I've got it left over." And what we've got to really work and understand, and what I want you to understand is because a lot of you now are ministering to people in the home groups and at different times in churches and at work and stuff like that, and they ask you about these kinds of questions. They ask you about giving and money. Why do we tithe and those kinds? Well, you need to understand it. How does it work? How does it? Why do I need to? I thought that was, well, is it? What is it? Old Testament? Is it only the law? Is tithing only the law? No, it was way before the law. It was way before the law. I'm going to show you here in just a few seconds that Cain and Abel did it. It's the firstlings. God wants the firstlings. He wants to be first in your life. And one way that we always show it is through the giving. Tithes and the offerings. This is His. And it's holy. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 with me. Proverbs 3. Then we're going to look at Genesis 4:18 and then we're quitting. But as long as Adam and Eve kept that for God, kept that, didn't take of it themselves, then they were fine. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In other words, don't listen to our stupid minds. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? So what God really wants to do is save our soul, which is our thinking, the way our thinking process. He wants to save it, our emotions, our intellect, the way we function and move and think. He wants to save our souls. Or we have a renewed spirit. The spirit came to life when you really received Jesus Christ as Lord. Then you've got that new life, that new spirit. But what now He's working on is our minds, the way we think. Don't lean to it. A wonderful example that I heard was that your mind will tell you need to go on a diet. And then you walk by the table and there's a plate of cookies. So your mind tells you, well, you can have one. So you eat one cookie. And then your mind says, well, you dummy, you've already messed up now. You might as well eat the whole thing. And we listen to this. We submit to that mind. We lean to that understanding. One day we're going to learn. We're going to wake up. We're going to understand. Listen, you got to stop listening to that mind. That mind tells you, you want something? Well, put it on a credit card. You'll have the money by the time the bill comes. And then when you don't have the money, when the bill comes, your mind says, you idiot, you knew better than to do that. Come on now, am I right? And we listen to that mind. How many knows that we really need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And don't lean to our understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. What does He say about something? What is He saying about money right now? What's He saying about health? What's He saying about marriage? What's He say? What does He say about rearing children? What does He say about church life? What does He say about loving your brother? What does He say about worshiping God and praising Him? So your mind don't want you doing this stuff in church, does it? But what is His understanding? Does He say to praise God with dancing and shouting and rejoicing and the tambourine and loud music and stringed instruments, and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. See, we listen to that mind, we submit to that thing, and it ain't got a bit of sense. It's dumb, it's stupid. Is your mind as stupid as my mind? If your mind is as stupid as my mind, say, my mind is stupid. Say that. My mind is stupid. It is. My mind is. Now, I have the mind of Christ that's inside of me, right? But I've got to let that mind activate and work in me. And I can't lean to my understanding. I got to trust in Him. In all thy ways, in all of them, every way, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do what to the Lord? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health in this. Honor, do what now? Honor the Lord with what? King James says substance. And with the first fruits. Now, your substance is your offering, and your first fruits is your tithe. Honor the Lord with your tithes and your offerings. Has a man robbed God? But you've robbed me. How'd you rob me? Well, your tithes and offerings. You know, you haven't honored me. You haven't feared me. You haven't placed me in that position as Lord. I'm really not Lord. You say you still want to eat of the apple. With the first fruits of thine, of all thine increase. Now, let me just deal with this real quick. Deal with this a lot in church life. People ask me, well, should I pay tithes on the gross or the net? How much of the apple do you have to eat? All of it or one bite? You get the curse. You see, we've got to understand that. After, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll do what Cain's going to do in just a minute. We're going to look at him as we stop. What we want to do too is identically the same thing. Is we want to do the net, because it's out of the net, you see, after we pay taxes, after taxes are taken out, after we have paid back to the union what we borrowed, after we put some in savings. We'll look at that in just a second. It'll be clearer. It'll even be clearer. I just wanted to open it up right there so you'll be prepared for it when we get there. So he says, if you'll do this with all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. How many believe that some of us need some more filled barns, and our presses need to burst forth with new wine? And new wine can be joy. We can do that stuff, but we're, you know, joy, abundance, a lot of good things. How many need some abundance in your life? He came to give you life in that. More abundantly, you see. And a part of this is understanding God's concepts of giving. And again, I know I'm talking to tithers. I know I am. But I want to add to this today the offering aspect of it too. But understand that it's tithes and offerings, tithes and offerings. He wants you to honor him into that position. Okay, let's look over to Genesis 4, and then we're about done. It's been okay tonight. A little different for a Wednesday night. And I know that this really needs to be shared on share on a Sunday morning, and we probably will. But I know just about all of you participate in a home church, and I want you to understand this, because if people start coming in and start getting activated in the home churches, they're going to have these questions. And I really want to move, praise God, to a place one day where we receive the tithes and offerings in the home church. I think that would just be wonderful. And we come, and the home church leader brings forth their home church's tithing and offering. Blesses it. Puts it in a basket. And, you know, and specifically because you can really unite with that person and pray for that person for their needs and support them in their harvesting. So home churches is really something I really feel like is going to be the thing of the next real move of God. I believe is going to be through the home churches. I really do. Because there's so much happening in ours. So much happening in ours. Okay, in Genesis 4. Verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect for Abel's and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Sad Christians, sitting beside the road of Jericho, beggar's garment. Countenance is fallen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Was it only Cain that God rejected in verse 5? What did God reject in verse 5? What did he reject? You need to see that. Make sure that you see that. And I see a lot of you writing, marking that in your scriptures. That's wonderful.
You need to do that. Circle it. Mark it. Listen. It was Cain and his offering that got rejected. It was the way he gave. It was his understanding of giving. It was the way he did it. Something about his offering ticked God off. Something about it God did not receive, did not accept. And it was something about this thing that God says, I reject that. And so it was so necessary to understand the proper ways of giving to God. How has a man robbed God? But you've robbed me. How have you robbed me? Well, in tithes and offerings. And so we've got to understand the concept that there's a way of doing this that God will receive it and bless us. And that's what we're after. We want the devourer rebuked. We want our wine presses bursting forth. We want our barns full. We want to see the kingdom of God come. We want to minister to people. We want to see things done in a first-class way. We want excellence in the house of God. And it's going to take money, honey. Am I right? Bread for Ed. That's right. It's going to do it. And we've got to learn how to give to harvest. This is what I'm trying to teach you, is we've got to learn how to give so that we can receive. Now, I know that you've heard me say before and probably heard other preachers say before, you don't give to get, but that's not true. That's not what Jesus taught. The widow in her mites. She gave from her want. She wanted something, so she gave. She gave all she had, but she was expecting to get something. And we don't understand that, and we've got to understand that there is a tithe and offering and a blessing that can come from God, that our wine presses can be full and our barns are full, breaking forth, and the windows of heaven opened up and blessings being poured out because of what? Tithes and offering. So here we go. And now notice in verse 5 that God rejected Cain's offering. So it's very important to understand how to properly give, how to properly do it, how important is correct offering and proper giving. Now, why did he accept Abel's and reject Cain's? Why? What was there about Cain's, Abel's, that was so pleasing to God, and something that about Cain's that just God didn't like? Well, it's right there. You've heard all sorts of things, like the blood, and there was no blood in Cain's offering and all that stuff. That's not true. God wants the first fruits, the firstlings, and the fat offering. Notice that again there. Please, that what Abel gave. If you notice in verse 4, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings, that's the tithe, of his flock, and the fat, that's the offering. And the Lord had respect unto that. Didn't he bring the tithe, the firstlings, the first fruits, brought the offering. And God likes that. But now, if you'll back up to verse 3 there, you'll see about Cain in the process of time. When Cain got ready, it came to pass. Finally, Cain decided, oh, I'll give him something. I've got my taxes paid. They've already taken that out of my check. I put some back in savings. I paid back the union. I can give him some offering now. Hello? So what do you tithe on? The gross or the net? All of it. Listen, there's a way here that God wants us to see tonight. There's a tithe and an offering that God wants to work into us. You don't just bring the firstlings, but you bring the firstlings and the fat. There's a tithing and an offering. It's all of it. In the process of time, when he kind of got around to it, and that's what most Christians do. We wait so long. If there's something left after groceries, after we've paid all the bills, after we've gotten our taxes taken care of and paid back the union and done these things that we know we had, then maybe, you know, then I'll think about giving God. In the process of time, it came to pass. God didn't like that. Angela, he didn't like that. He didn't have respect for that. He rejected that. And Cain's countenance fell. He didn't feel the presence of God in his life. There was no joy in there. There was no exuberance. The Spirit of God wasn't evident around him. It wasn't around Abel, but it wasn't around Cain. And Cain didn't like it. So his countenance fell. Sad Christians. Sitting by the road of Jericho in beggar's garment. And you see, and so God didn't have respect for that. And Cain was told by God, now, because you're getting in this attitude situation, sins at the door. So the next thing that happens after Christians, after God doesn't accept their offering and the presence of God is not there in their life like it once was, they stop giving and they step into sin. Folks, I see this all the time. Because they don't fear God, they step back into the world and back into sin. And it's always lying at the door, right where you left it. See, the blood washes you from your sin. It doesn't necessarily always wash the sin off of you. It washes you from it. And so it's lying right there at the door. So Cain goes and picks it up and he kills his brother. So what the Lord wants to show us tonight is that there is a proper way of doing this. He wants his church out of a beggar's garment. He wants them to be loud. He wants us to be joyful and have cheer. He wants us to have fun in the house of the Lord. He wants us to understand tithing and offering. He wants us to understand there's a proper way of doing it. He wants us to instruct it. In Malachi, that's what he's saying. He says, you've got bad teachings on this. You need better teachings. You need to understand these things better. And I have. I repent. I'm telling you, I've shied away from this kind of teaching for years because of the turmoil in the body of Christ about money. But God can deal with that, right? You may say, well, I don't like the way you spend it. Well, if you pay your mortgage on your house, do you necessarily like the way the bank spends your money? Talk to me. Do you have anything to say about it, actually? But if you don't pay it, what happens? Do they have respect for your offering? There's a right way of doing it. It's a time. You don't get to pay the house payment in the process of time. And you don't get to pay what's left over after you paid everything else. There's a way of doing it. There's a way that reaps the blessings. And these things are just as true in the spirit realm as they are in the natural, if not more so. God has respect for proper ways of giving. And if I'm not handling it right, God will deal with me. Ask Jim Baker. All right? Sure. I can hear God. I guarantee you. This boy don't want nothing like that happening. I fear the Lord. I know His ways. And, He's real. And so I just want to tell you tonight that God knows that we are a giving church and we're a tithing church, but I think He wants to bring us into a place, like I said earlier, that there's a lot He wants done from this church, from this body of Christ. It's going to take some sowing. It's going to take some faith. There's no way that you're going to activate your faith any more than in the finance realm. Because usually you'll activate that faith. Father, I'm going to give this to get this. You're activating your faith. You'll step out on money matters quicker than any other way in faith that I'm aware of. I have, and you probably have as well. But activate your faith. It'll bring you into a realm of belief in God. God takes care of your financial needs. You believe all the time. I mean, you just believe God. Just believe Him. It's amazing what God's done here. Our budget is pretty high. We have 3 full-time people making pretty good salaries. And God has always been faithful. Amen? We do things the way He says do. And this is a blessed plan. We're a tithing house. I just want to expand this a little bit and let us see this tonight. This is really what God's working into me. I'm looking for a place to sow $2,100. Amen? So be praying for me. I want to sow it. I don't want to sow it into alms. I want to sow it into somebody that's doing well, that's got it together, that really doesn't need it. Because I want to come to the place where I don't need it. Understand? I want that. I want to harvest that. I don't want to harvest the poverty. I want to harvest the wealth. And so we're praying and we're looking for a place that's got it. And we're God's going to do it. Because we need 100-fold on that. Amen? God's stretching us. He's going to stretch you. He's going to challenge you. Let's stand. Well. Okay. Let's see. Anybody got any thoughts or any things? I'll tell you, sit back down a second. Sit back down a second. It's still early. Sit back. Somebody's a word of the Lord, maybe not anything to do with this, but the Lord's spoken something to you this week or said something to you in your study or prayers or fasting time. You need to share with the body of Christ. Anything.
I don't know whether it's something I need to say now, but I've been dwelling on is having a debt-free, when we build a new church, that it, I mean, we talk about we should not have debt, and we should a non-spiritual organization like a bank or a church when we build a new church.
And the church says?
I'm thinking about that.
That's the truth, yeah, but it's so easy to get that card, you know. Yeah, so easy to do that. So easy. You listen to the mind, right? Oh yeah, we can do that. We'll have it when it comes due. How many understands that? It's really what the mind says. It's what it says. Go to the bank and borrow it, Delbert. Come on, you got enough collateral right here. You got enough collateral in this building right here to go over there and buy that. I know I do. I don't want that. Huh? Right. Sure. We don't want to do that. We are wanting to do it. If He's spoken it to us, He's going to make a way. And we've just got to find it. We've just got to find it. Amen. I believe some in tithes and offerings. Anybody else? That's good, Joyce. Kaylin.
God spoke to me when you're talking about laughing in church. If you can laugh in church, you can laugh at anything. Work there anymore. Just when you thought your budget was going to be right, they come in and pull the rug out and you still laugh. Because if you can laugh here, it sort of trickles out and goes to everything. Witness wherever you're at and where you're working, because people are like, you know, what else am I going to do? You know, God's going to take care of it and trickles out.
You get better or bitter, right? And that's why I really think that's why you see a lot of sick Christians, you know, they've gotten bitter about things, particularly the body of Christ, because of this. Many of you are weak, sick, and dying because you haven't rightly discerned the body of Christ. You don't understand forgiveness. You don't understand how these things work. You've leaned to your own understanding, and you haven't trusted in the Lord. Amen? What about Mr. Mission Field? You've always gotten something. Come on, let's hear something with the body.
Well, one thing that what you're talking about tonight, one reason to be that God didn't favor Cain's offering was because he brought it from the ground, and God had just cursed the ground about 10 verses before that. So if we bring a cursed offering to the God, to God, we can't expect a return.
That's good. That's good. That's good. All right. How many could use a little more money? A little more money. Amen. Now, some of you aren't raising your hands. What's the deal here? Okay, I was going to come talk to you. Now they got up there. All right, let's stand and let's take our beggar's garment off. And what do you have? What gets his attention? Was it the quietness or the loudness? Okay, don't be afraid to lift your voice to him. The Bible says, lift your voice unto the Lord. Shout unto God, all you people. Amen. The Lord has ascended with a shout. Karen.
Hallelujah.